Well, good morning. It's an honor and privilege to be here this morning and to present a portion of God's Word to you. We've had a bunch of good lessons this week, and I was able to listen to the ones I missed, and I'm very pleased with how they came out and whatnot. Thank you, Kyle, for that reading also. So as discussed, this morning I'll be talking about, once again, Jesus Christ, but we're going to be looking at how He is our perfect example. How He's our perfect example in everything. He was man, He was God in flesh, but He lived like us, yet He was perfect. He's a perfect example. I always like to start by defining terms and really kind of getting a good understanding before I talk about something. So I thought, what is a good way I can explain the definition of what an example is to the congregation here at large? For those that are here fairly regularly, I thought of a great example. Those sitting in this area probably hear it better, but every time there's a prayer and it's loud enough where A-M-E-N is said, there's someone right over there that will say it. And I thought, this congregation is being a great example to baby Natalie. She's not even 2 years old yet. She probably doesn't know who she's saying amen to, but everyone else is doing it, so she did it. We are being a good example to her. There's just one definition, one example. So when we're talking about examples, what we're talking about is people or groups of people collectively that we look up to. They're leaders. They're people that possess a strong influence, the ability to affect people, Lord willing for the better. You can be a bad example too, but we're talking this morning about good example, and that being Jesus. Those good examples and influences, the way we are affected, usually it's by our actions, by speech, by choices, thoughts and motivations, and responses to situations that people can see. Thankfully, we have things recorded about Jesus for our knowledge in this book, and that's what we're going to go over this morning. To define the word example, like I kind of just provided an example of, it means to do or to respond in the same way, manner, or fashion as done before. To be like in a similar fashion, the same behavior. Looking at Jesus as our perfect example, I would venture to say that all of us would say we want to respond like Christ did, right? We all want to be more like Christ. We bear the name Christian. What does that mean? It means to be Christ-like. In thinking about this lesson I brought to my memory back when in like elementary-ish school, maybe middle school partly too, there were these bracelets that you would see, like a kind of rubbery elastic bracelet, and it said WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, it's super cliche. I think that's very appropriate. It's very appropriate to think about what Jesus did, how He responded. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to open the Bible here and look at what He did, how He responded, how He communicated with people, so we can be more like Him. That's the goal. He's our perfect example. He's the one we need to look to as our guide and as our template. So I've got a bunch of different ways here how He was a good example to us. We'll talk about them, and the lesson will be yours. Open your Bibles, if you would already, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's where we're going to make our first point here, starting in verse 21. But what we're going to see here is that Jesus lived a perfect life, right? He lived a perfect life. What do I mean? Does that mean Jesus had an easy life? Is that what I said? No, that's not what the Bible says either. But Jesus lived a perfect life, a sinless life. John actually talked about this in his lesson too, in his lesson about Jesus being the Son of God, but he said he was perfectly obedient to the Father and following His will. And he didn't sin in while on earth. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 21. It says, "For He made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." See, Christ took on the sin of us. For us, because He didn't know any sin. Go to Hebrews chapter 4 for the same illustration. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Flip over a few chapters to chapter 9 and verse 14, again for the same point. Christ was perfect. He was perfect, and how good of an example is he to us? Chapter 9 and verse 14 of Hebrews, and it says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from the dead works?" Christ was without spot. He was perfect, without sin. There are two kind of options or avenues that we can take from this lesson, and I hope you'll take the latter of this. But the first is, okay, Tanner, Christ was perfect. He's a great example. I'm never going to attain that, so what's the point, right? I'm never going to be like Christ. I'm never going to be perfect, so whatever. That's one option. Or you can use Christ here being our perfect example as, yeah, we might not be perfect like he was, but we have something to look forward to. We have something to, we have a template. And how blessed are we to have a template to look to, a guide, a reference, a good example, a leader to look up to? How blessed are we to have that? So I hope you take that approach here. Go back to what Kyle just read in 1 Peter chapter 2, our scripture reading. And I just want to read again verse 22. 1 Peter 2 and 22, it says, actually, let's read 21 and 22. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin nor was deceit found in his mouth. And that, of course, being from Isaiah chapter 53. Christ committed no sin. That's our first point. Another way he was a great example to us, and this is something I often don't think about, but I should more. Christ was baptized. We're baptized today for the remission or forgiveness of our sins, right? Matthew chapter 3. Let's read this here. Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 13. But remember, Jesus was baptized. Matthew 3:13, it reads, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him." I think this is funny because I'd like to think I would have responded the same way John did. "And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. You are coming to me.'" Right? Mind you, this is Christ Jesus, the Son of God. And John's saying, you want me to do this? What? "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' And then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" The takeaway that I got from this when reading through the Gospels about Jesus being baptized is that Christ, who we just established, knew no sin. He was perfect. If he was baptized to be a good example for us, how much more than do I, someone that sins frequently, do I need to be baptized for the forgiveness or remission of my sins? Something to think about if you haven't been. Christ Jesus, who knew no sin, was baptized. Have you? Have you been? Another point here to bring up is that Christ was a great example in his interactions with others, in his conversations with people. It's another thing when reading, you know, oftentimes when I read, I'll read the words and I'll understand it, but I don't think about the context or the situation. Jesus was put in a lot of awkward sometimes situations. I often look sometimes about not only what was said, but how it was said. So one thing that kind of was brought to my mind is in Mark chapter 11, 27 through 33. We're not going to read it, but there, Jesus' authority was questioned by the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. His authority was questioned, and they asked Jesus directly, "Where do you get your authority? Me being who I am and knowing why they asked that question, I would have probably responded with, 'Why do I need to tell you?'" Right? Something like that. But how did Jesus respond? He answered their question with a question. And I think it's kind of funny, and I think there's a lot that we can learn about the way Jesus responded to people and how he interacted with them that we can take with us too. Again, he's our perfect example in everything, in the way he talked with others, his knowledge, his application of the scriptures, his obedience to the Father. Next point here, how about this? He was the perfect example of love. Gary often, when he's up here, he will say that no greater love has ever been shown or demonstrated. And that's That's the exact point that I want to make. Christ Jesus, the perfect one, the Son of God, was the perfect example of love, a sacrificial love, because he gave himself for all of us. Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll go there with me, verses 1 and 2. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Christ walked in love, and in his footsteps we ought to follow. Flip over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love. How do we know love? Well, let's keep reading. By this we know love, because he, Christ Jesus, he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the other brethren, for our other brethren. This is a really good segue into the next point. Not only was Jesus a perfect example of sacrificial love for all of us, but he loved his neighbor, didn't he? He loved his neighbor. He cared for the poor. He healed people. Now, I got to make the obvious point here. I can't heal your infirmities. I can't take your headache away. I can't make your diseases go away. But what can I do? I can bring you dinner. I can call you and see how you're doing. I can write you a note, right? Those are the things that we can do here to take care of each other and bear each other's burdens. In the same fashion that Jesus cared for his neighbor, cared for the poor, healed people and helped where he could, we have an obligation to do the same for our brethren here. Galatians chapter 5 tells us that, about bearing each other's burdens. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14 and following. And it reads, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Flip over to James chapter 13. I think that might have been James chapter 3 here. Yeah, let's do James chapter 3. I don't think there is a James. Nope. John chapter 13. That's what happens when you write sloppy. John chapter 13 in verse 34. John chapter 13 and 34 and following. It reads, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Again, Jesus there himself says, you know, I've been an example to you. Love one another as I have loved you. You've seen it in me. Provide to others. Provide to others. Jesus was also a great example to us by his humility, wasn't he? He was a very humble man. Truly think about it for a second, but Jesus, being the Son of God, he left heaven, something we can't even wrap our heads around fully, more than likely. He left heaven to take on flesh and to die a cruel, cruel death on a cross for us. And he opened not his mouth, and he didn't sin along the way. He was very, very humble. Philippians chapter 2. Let's read of this humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 is where we'll start. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What's another way we can say that? Christ is an example for us. Listen to what I'm about to say, Paul says. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, by taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross." The lesson that we can learn from Christ and his humility is that we ought to act the same way. We ought to act the same way. Christ being who he was when he was on the cross, what did he do? He demonstrated his love. He demonstrated his obedience. The New Testament was established. Do you remember that he forgave people when he was hanging on the cross? Again, I forget that sometimes. Go to Luke chapter 23 for me here with me. Luke chapter 23 in verse 34. Let's see. Luke chapter 23 and 34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. Think about the humility that it had to take for him to do that. And the maturity of Jesus to forgive those who had killed him, who were killing him actively by watching him and not doing anything. Right? Go to Colossians chapter 3 with me. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. And that word reads, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ Jesus. When Christ, who is our life, appears... I'm sorry, I'm going to read that again. I'm going to start in verse 1, actually. Colossians chapter 3 here. Okay. Colossians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do." A couple other points that we read in there we've already talked about. Bearing one another's burdens, forgiving is what we were just talking about. Humility, meekness. We're called to forgive, aren't we? We're called to forgive as Christ forgave. Another point that was actually brought up in John's lesson was the fact that Jesus was teaching at a very young age, wasn't he? There's no excuse for us. Luke chapter 2, in verse 42. Yeah, 42 through 52. I'm sorry, I don't think... I'm sorry, that was not the right verse either. I can't remember off the top of my head where this was at in Luke, but John had stated and accurately, I think he was 12 years old, if I recall correctly, but Jesus was teaching at a very young age, and there's no excuse for us there. But the next point here, how about the example of Jesus in his service, in his servanthood? Let's go to John chapter 13. We'll read starting in verse 5. John chapter 13. This is where we read about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Starting in verse 5, it says, "After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet." Again, keep in mind, this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, washing his disciples' feet. Continuing on in verse 5, "and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, you are washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said, 'Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you.' For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.' So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down, he said, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." A couple points there. The service that Jesus brought up, the servanthood and the service that he offered, but then it doesn't just stop, right? It wasn't necessarily about the washing of their feet. He says, "Do you see what I did? Do you see what I did here?" And there's a point that we can extract from that too, is that we're called to serve others. We're called to serve each other and help as we can. Jesus was a perfect example in dealing with temptation, wasn't he? Being that he was man, God in flesh, he dealt with temptation just as we did. However, he responds perfectly every time. Matthew chapter 4, we'll read the first few verses here. This is where Satan tempts Jesus after he had just been baptized. Matthew chapter 4, we'll start in 1. Then Jesus, who was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. I would be too. When the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Look how Jesus responds. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds by the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him onto an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Verse 10, and Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and administered to him. Jesus was tempted on three different occasions here in three different ways, but each and every time, how did he respond? Not only perfectly, but how did he respond? "Thus it is written, thus saith the Lord." And I think we can learn something from that too. Jesus was tempted. We're going to be tempted too. He's our template. He's our example. He's what we need to follow. And how did he approach it? "Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord." Jesus also provided a great example to us in his prayer life, didn't he? We're not going to read all these for the sake of time. I'm just going to throw them at you if you're taking notes. But all of these verses I'm about to list off mention in some form of fashion how Jesus was doing something and then he went to pray. And those verses would be, and this is not an exclusive list, Luke 3:21, Matthew 14:23, Mark 6:46, Luke 6:12, Mark 1:35, Luke 5:16, Luke 9 and 18, Matthew 26 and 36. That's kind of a good segue into the next point too about his prayer life. Think about the daily work that Jesus did. I think it was already said this morning, but Jesus was a very busy man, wasn't he? He was not a busybody. He wasn't sluggish. He wasn't lazy. He was about the Father's business and he was serious about it. He was a busy man. Let's read John chapter 5 and verse 36. John chapter 5 and verse 36. And that says, let's see here. Yeah, we'll start in 36. "But I said to you that you have not seen me and yet do not believe. All the Father gives me will come to me. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all the things he have given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day." Skip a few pages to chapter 9 and verse 4. Chapter 9 and verse 4. And it says, Jesus says, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." Jesus understood he had a job to do. He had a mission. He had an objective. And he was busy about it. He was busy about it. And the lesson for us, the template for us, is if Jesus can do it, we can too. We can too. Jesus being the example he was to us, what did he say about his example to us? Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, and he says to us too, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." There's our instructions from Jesus about following in his footsteps. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. We're told in a couple verses how we ought to imitate Christ and imitate God. And by imitating the apostles, and we are imitating Christ and God. And we're doing and following the pattern that is laid out before us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 1, Paul writes, "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." And then Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 says something similar. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." We are to imitate Christ. There's no other way to explain it. We ought to walk as Christ walked. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." If we call ourselves Christians but we're not acting like it, or if we call ourselves Christians and aren't following the plan of salvation that we ought to, or the living the way we ought to if we are a Christian, are we really being a Christian? Are we really following Christ the way he's intended? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Right? Let this mind be in you. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, a similar fashion. Hebrews 12 and 2. And that says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God." We ought to walk as Christ walked. We ought to be the light that he was to others and the salt that he had talked about. And you know, Jesus wants us to learn from him. What does Matthew chapter 11 and 29 say about Jesus wanting us to learn from him and being that example for us? Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He said, learn from me. Learn from me. We have everything we need to know to be a good person, a good Christian in this life. So learn from him. He's the perfect example. I want to read 1 Peter chapter 2, which Kyle read our scripture reading. I want to read that one more time before we close here. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll start in 21 again. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep who going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." I think that's a really good verse because it sums up the points that I've been trying to make this morning, that Christ lived as man. He suffered a terrible, terrible death for us. But he left us an example. He left us an example in the way he responded to situations, in his perfect obedience to the Father. Everything that he did, everything that he was about, he was an example for us. And the things that I brought up this morning, again, that's not an exhaustive list. There are plenty of other extractions that we can take from the New Testament on Christ and how he lived and what he said and how he responded to situations that we can learn from and that we can grow from. The question that I have for you this morning then would be, we have the template that we need, and I've said that, but will you faithfully follow it? It's one thing to know it, it's one thing to have it, but will you follow it? There's the application, there's where the rubber's going to meet the road. Are you going to faithfully follow the example and template that we have before us of Christ? Will you follow in his footprints and learn from him? If you are a Christian and haven't been following, my encouragement would be to start following in his footsteps. Find those tracks again. Find those, just like in the snow, find those tracks that Jesus left for us and follow them, because they'll lead you where you want to go. If you're not a Christian, the plan of salvation is really simple. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to believe that the Lord Jesus is Lord, He is Christ and Lord. Repent of your sins. Repent of the ways that you've been living in the past. Confess your faith before men and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's what Christ wants you to do. That's what God wants you to do, and that's His plan. If you're not a Christian and you need to become one, I highly encourage you to do this now because tomorrow's not guaranteed. But follow in Christ's footsteps, follow in His example. If there's anything that anyone needs, let it be known as we stand and sing.